Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. So this episode will most likely be the last one that we focus on the Gallup State of the Global Workplace 2025 survey. And I saved this portion till last. I shared a little bit about this in the last episode, but in this episode, what I want to focus on is the decline in manager engagement. And that's a real concern. This is a huge challenge for organizations. Last year, a troubling trend emerged that we're seeing that cost the global economy $438 billion in lost productivity, which is a significant decline in employee engagement. That was the root cause of that $438 billion loss in productivity. But we need to dig deeper than that. According to Gallup's State of the Global Workplace 2025 report, this alarming drop primarily stems from a steep reduction in manager engagement. And you could say manager slash leader, that would be fair. The ripple effects of disengaged managers are truly profound. They influence team engagement, overall productivity, and ultimately business performance and even GDP growth. So there are real consequences to this drop in manager engagement. And we're talking a drop of an average of 3 percentage points. And for some managers, like younger managers, 35 and under, their drop was 5 percentage points. For female managers, it was 7 percentage points. So this is a real concern, because I'm sure you can see a drop in manager engagement is going to directly impact teams, because managers and leaders are the ones that set the environment, they set the culture, they drive production, performance. I mean, everything. Well, let me put it this way. As I once told the owner of an organization, the fish rots from the head down. And it took him a minute to figure out what I was saying. And then, of course, he gave me a look like, what do you mean? Is my leadership bad? I said, it's not about being bad. It's about how can we make it better. So there is a direct cascade effect when you see managers and leaders that are disengaged. Now, I want to share a story with you. I always like to share these true stories of situations that I've experienced as a consultant and a coach. Unfortunately, this is not a story with a happy ending. Several years ago, I was coaching a group of managers and leaders in an organization. There was a direct correlation between their desire to be coached and their success. So those who really wanted to be coached, we saw rapid growth and enhancements in their managing and leading. We just saw almost immediate success. And then we had other people that weren't as engaged with that coaching process. Now, part of the success stems from developing a growth mindset. A growth mindset is so important because it really is one of the key pieces to the foundation of sustainable success. And that's really what we're shooting for. When I go in and do consulting engagements, coaching engagements, the work that I do with organizations, whether it's hiring the right talent, whatever it happens to be, the whole goal is sustainable success. And there are many moving parts to sustainable success. Well, Everything was going well with this group until one of the managers started to kind of shut me out in our coaching time together. There was obviously stuff going on in his life that it was, he shared a little bit of that, but not very much. He was kind of closed off about some of that stuff, but he had a lot going on at work and at home. I started to notice signs of burnout, and I suggested that he seek a mental health professional to work through some of the issues he was dealing with. I don't do anything clinical. I focus on development. I focus on the business side. I focus on organizational development, leadership development, professional development, hiring the right talent, those kinds of things. So I made this suggestion, and basically his answer to me was, thanks, but no thanks. And it was a little sharp in the way he said it, like, why would I need something like that? You can only help people who have a desire to be helped. The difficult part is to watch someone slowly decline in their performance, in their productivity, in their attitude, in their optimism, in their motivation. It's really hard to watch that and know that you can help them, but they just don't want to be helped. What happens at work impacts what happens at home and vice versa. We don't just leave home at home. Even a lot of people say that. I can leave stuff at home there. No, it really does come with you to work, and work comes with you home. So it's important to find a good balance there, to find a good way to navigate those things so that you can be your best self in both places. Well, my coaching engagement ended with that organization. A few months later, I received a call from the owner for an emergency meeting. When I met with them, it was actually the owner and one of the senior leaders. I found out that this manager was stealing from the company, became addicted to drugs, and had left his family. Just about the worst possible outcome in a situation like this. Why do I share this story? Because disengagement is the first step on the road to burnout. And burnout, as we see here in this scenario, is a very serious condition. Sometimes people leave when they feel burned out, looking for a better place to go. But other times they stay and bad things start to happen. And maybe you might think this is an extreme case. It's actually a lot more common than you might think. So when I share this story, I do it as a cautionary tale so that we can watch for those signs of burnout. We can watch for those signs of disengagement. For those of you who are numbers people and who are listening to this, we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars in cost, if not much more, for every disengaged leader or manager. That's a big deal. Back to the survey results. With manager engagement at a meager 27%, and honestly, I don't laugh about that because it's funny. I laugh about it because it's kind of scary if you think about it. And I guess you can laugh or cry, and I choose to laugh. But basically, we're talking about 1 in 4 managers who are engaged. Well, what happens with that? Well, the workplace stands on the edge of a chasm. It would not take much to plunge over the edge of that cliff or that chasm and fall into it for any organization. And I think there are some that are experiencing that free fall right now. We must act now to turn this around. First, let's look at what's driving it. What is driving this decline in manager and leader engagement? Managers today find themselves at a critical crossroads. caught between heightened executive demands and shifting employee expectations post-pandemic. Yeah, we're still dealing with that. Less than half of the world's managers, 44%, report receiving any form of management training. Let me take a minute here and delineate my thoughts related to managing and leading. I see management as a subset of leadership. Management skills are task-oriented skills. Are we doing it right? Are we doing it on time? Is the quality where it needs to be? Check the boxes, make the right processes, get the right systems in place. It's managing tasks and it's managing workflow. Leadership encompasses that, but it also includes encouraging, inspiring, coaching, mentoring, training, developing, all of the human side or the human dynamic that's involved with the workplace. And so I just wanted to give you that quick definition as far as my perspective of the difference between managing and leading. I think it's very important because leadership is about getting things done through other people, and it's about influence, which comes from the combination of good connections and good trust building. Management is about overseeing, supervising, task orientation. All right, with that in mind, 44% got any kind of management training, which is really sad. One of the things that I have incorporated in my workshops, in my group coaching, in my mastermind is basic management skills, because unfortunately, those are not being taught in school. They're not being taught even in business school. They're just not being taught. And we're promoting people into manager roles and leader roles who are not equipped to deal with the two major elements in that responsibility, which are getting things done, the tasks, the systems, the processes, and all of that, and the people side, the human dynamic. And it really isn't that difficult to get a manager or a leader up to speed on management skills, but there has to be a commitment to it, and it's going to take some time, energy, and effort to get those things in place. But we're talking about lifetime skills here. Once you have those skills, they're with you for your lifetime. And that is a huge bonus to any organization who does that. Gallup's findings reveal a stark reality. A lack of fundamental training drastically increases the risk of managers becoming actively disengaged, those who actively undermine organizational objectives. So let me define engagement, disengaged, and actively disengaged, because there is a difference. Engagement is the emotional commitment somebody has to the effort, the team, the organization. Disengaged is they're neutral. They're going to do what's required, but not much more than that. Actively disengaged is something very different. It is moving away. It is in opposition to. It is going in a different direction. This is where you get toxicity. It's where you get hostile work environments. It's where you get a lot of really bad things in the workplace. And so it's important for us to understand the terminology and understand the measures so we understand the ramifications of what we're dealing with here. And they're big. These are big ramifications. So let's look next at the cost. What is the cost if we just ignore this need for increasing manager engagement? Disengaged managers do more than diminish their own effectiveness. They create a toxic ripple effect. I think that's a great way to describe that toxic ripple effect, because it's just like dropping a rock in a pond, and those ripples just keep going and going and going, and they rebound on each other. They impact other people. Teams led by a disengaged manager suffer from low morale, reduced productivity, increased turnover, which is incredibly expensive, and diminished organizational trust. These factors compound directly, impacting organizational profitability and economic stability. So not good, right? Those are some pretty significant negative ramifications. What could higher manager engagement achieve? Let's look at the other side of the coin. The benefits of improved manager engagement are tangible and substantial. Managers who receive targeted development, that means growing those skills, developing their gap areas so they become strengths, become more engaged themselves, but they also boost team engagement and performance at the same time. So here's some things right out of the Gallup research, some highlights about some things that can be done to turn this thing around. Number one, basic role training can cut extreme manager disengagement in half. Think about that, cutting that in half by just giving them some good training. Number two, effective coaching training can enhance manager performance metrics by 20 to 28%. That's another great increase, and it all drops to the bottom line, to be honest about it. Continuous manager development can increase overall manager well-being by up to 50% when coupled with active encouragement from leadership. I want to spend a second thinking about that, because I know a lot of people kind of either don't understand or they're uncomfortable around certain terms. Terms like self-care, terms like well-being, terms like emotional intelligence or emotions. Those are the kinds of things, though, that are driving all of these numbers we're looking at. It isn't any one technical thing that is creating this lower employee engagement and manager engagement. Engagement is the emotional commitment. Therefore, emotional drivers are what is driving this whole thing. And in the last episode, I talked about 50% of employees are watching for or actively seeking another job. They want to leave their current position. And 70% or more of that is directly related to their manager. People leave managers, they don't leave organizations. And so with all of this in mind, what can we do about it? That's the key. Let's get into specific action steps that senior leadership, ownership can put in place to turn the tide here. First thing, if we want to turn that tide of declining manager engagement, we have to implement strategic initiatives that focus on training, emotional intelligence, and developmental clarity. What is developmental clarity? There is so much out there about development and leadership development, manager development, and everybody has their own idea. Some people say, oh, we just read a book together and that's going to do it. Well, it's better than nothing for sure. Or other people say, oh, we'll pull some of this free stuff off the internet and we'll build our own training program around that. Okay, that's not too bad. But none of those things are really integrated. And none of those things take in the neuroscience of how people learn, how they retain information, how they practice it, and how they grow skills, and how they upskill themselves. That is a very different approach. And that's the approach that I take with my clients. It isn't a thing that happens in a week or 2 weeks. Now, there are some situations where I will do 6 to 8 week boot camps, and we will focus on a very specific skill set in that amount of time, and we will equip those managers and leaders with that skill set so they're well on their way to shoring up the gaps in that area and developing those into strengths, whether that be habit transformation or emotional intelligence or good hiring practices or how to coach and mentor people, whatever those different topics are for those boot camps. Those are very effective, but it's because there's a lot of science behind it. The reason I share that, honestly, I see so many organizations wasting their money and their people's time and effort on things that have no long-term impact. And that's just the reality. And I would be happy to share all kinds of research that shows that. The old way of training just doesn't work. There has to be a definitive neuroscience approach so that the learning connects with people in a way that locks in the learning. So we got to turn the tide. So how do we do that? First step, provide fundamental role training. Every manager should undergo basic training that clearly defines their expectations and equips them with essential management skills. This foundational training alone can significantly reduce extreme disengagement levels. And it makes sense, right? If you equip somebody to be able to do something, they're going to be better at it, they're going to enjoy it more, and they're going to have more success. Isn't that what we want? Okay, step number two, implement coaching training programs. Effective coaching techniques are proven to dramatically boost manager and team performance. Coaching, particularly when aligned with best practices, can increase manager engagement by up to 22% and team engagement by up to 18%. And let me share a fact with you, and this comes out of several different studies. An engaged employee will give you 2 to 4 times the productivity of a non-engaged employee, either neutral or disengaged, actively disengaged. So, as an expert in leadership and emotional intelligence, I've seen firsthand how tailored coaching interventions significantly enhance leadership efficacy and emotional resilience, and that increases engagement, both for the leaders and the managers and their teams. Number three step, emphasize emotional intelligence development. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, you always talk about emotional intelligence. Well, there's a really good reason for that. Our brains process things through our emotional part of our brain first before it goes to the rational part of our brain for further thought and processing. Therefore, if you cannot put in place a set of skills that help you deal with the emotions that are being generated by what you experience, you're not going to be able to process and use your higher cognitive functions to any significant degree. That's a little bit of science in there, but that's the reality of the way our brains work. Managers that are skilled in emotional intelligence foster healthier, more productive teams. Emotional intelligence training can significantly improve self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, intrinsic motivation, and social skills. All of those critical for navigating today's complex workplace dynamics. Using specialized emotional intelligence assessment, and I have several that I use. There's the Leading Through Change leadership assessment. There's the Leadership Vital Signs, which is a 360. There's a Team Vital Signs assessment, which is a climate survey type of assessment infused with emotional intelligence. And there's many others that I use. Leaders can identify gaps and develop customized strategies to enhance manager effectiveness. Okay, step number four, facilitate ongoing development and support. Continuous developmental opportunities, paired with active encouragement and support from senior leadership, drastically improves manager well-being. Regular check-ins, personalized development plans, and accessible learning resources can sustain engagement and productivity over the long term. Step number 5, using assessments for clarity and direction. And I'm a firm believer in a data-driven process for helping people. And I mean, if you don't have the data, you're kind of guessing. I mean, okay, maybe your intuition is good. Maybe you can read people well. I guarantee you, I can tell you more about a person through a package of assessments than you can tell about them in an hour or two that you meet with them. And why do I say that? Because this is so easy to do, and it gives you information. Maybe you're in a pre-hire process, but then it becomes part of the onboarding process that fast-tracks their onboarding to get them as productive as possible as soon as possible. Maybe it's leadership development or manager development, and you're getting really good insight from these assessments. That's the whole point of using assessments. It isn't just to get some numbers and some data. It's what do we do with it? What's the path forward? Leveraging psychometric and emotional intelligence assessments, like those offered by 6 Seconds, by TTI Success Insights, by Habit Story, all of those I use, it provides actionable insights into manager strengths, developmental areas and opportunities, and emotional drivers. These tools offer clarity and enable targeted interventions. So instead of using a throw everything up against the wall and hope it sticks kind of approach, this is going to actually identify the specific areas where if we pull those levers, you're going to get the most outcome, the best possible results. That's what you use assessments for. Now, as we kind of close this out, we need to redefine managerial roles if we want to have sustainable success. Ultimately, it's imperative to rethink the role of the manager from mere task overseer to strategic organizational developer. Investing in manager engagement through intentional structured development strategies is no longer optional. It's a critical business imperative. We have to develop our managers and our leaders. If we don't do that, basically what you're saying is, I'm comfortable with where they are right now, and that's the ceiling, and that's all I need out of them. Honestly, that's kind of what it comes down to. By focusing on emotional intelligence, coaching, continuous training, robust assessment packages, leaders can ensure managers are empowered, engaged, and equipped. That's so important, that equipping, to lead teams effectively, thus unlocking massive economic and organizational potential. And that's really what this is about. How do we turn potential into performance? The choice facing executives today is clear. Invest in proactively training and developing our managers, or risk the severe long-term consequences of not doing that. And I'll close with a little joke, and you may have heard it. A CEO and a CFO were talking one day, and the CEO said, I think we need to put a leadership development and manager development program in place. And the CFO looked at it, and he looked at the numbers, and he said, wow, I understand what you're saying, but what happens if we put this in place and we invest in these people and then they leave us? And the CEO came right back and said, what happens if we don't do this and they stay? That's a sobering joke, isn't it? Let me leave you with this last thought. Investing in manager and leader development is the best investment you can make in your organization, beyond any other. No machines, no computers, no systems, no ERP system, no processes, no building is ever going to give you the return on investment that you will get by investing in your people. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.